Welcome back, Phil Henry Show, and it is now time for that portion of our program we call You're Now Allowed to Talk to Phil. You're now allowed to call the show at 1-800-449-8686. Check in on the bullcrap of the day. Check in, of course, on aspects, questions that you may have about our show, and how this, one of the most revolutionary radio shows in the history of the world, has been executed up to this point. And other things that may strike your fancy. So we have my take and my point of view on the world events, world's news. And that's crap, too. Just remember, we're all full of crap. 1-800-449-8686. It may also direct you to the website josephwolf.com. Josephwolf.com. Joe was a listener to our show, but this poor guy is in a coma. He's I think he's a 13-year-old boy. He was hit by a car on Sunday, January 28th, while walking home from church. He was life-flighted to a local hospital in Sandy, Utah, where he received emergency brain surgery, and his family, of course, at his side. And this poor little guy, and here's a decent kid, this little Joe Wolf. Here, there he is with his dog. It's a pug dog, and he's in a coma. So what are you going to do? Because, you know, kids, and Melissa made this point, and we made this point last week, everybody wants to blame everybody except one group of people don't get the blame. And who is that? The kids. Nobody wants to blame them. Everybody wants to blame the parents. They want to blame the teachers. They want to blame the TV. They want to blame the movies. They want to blame the society. They want to blame the violent nature of society. This stuff starts pouring out of our mouths like so much, just so much, like so many gumballs, just dropped down from the gumball machine and rolling right out the exit there, and you don't even know what the hell it is you're saying. Well, it's a reflection of our violence. I hung up on a guy last hour. I screened a call. I just think this is a reflection of the violent nature of our society. Man, I couldn't have hung up that phone faster. Bug off. Video games, Eminem, rock music, Pokemon. Has anybody thought that maybe the problem is just that some of these kids are rotten to the core? Did you ever see that movie Bad Seed with Patty McCormick? Boy, she was a real piece of work. She sets fire to houses, kicked the crap out of some guy. She's 10, man. She looked like Heidi. She looked like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. And she's got the little pigtails, and she's got the little milkmaid, the Swiss Miss skirt. Looked like that little Cindy on the Brady Bunch, only about 10-year-old version of her. And she'd go around kicking the crap out of everybody, setting fire to some guy. Remember the gardener? She burned the guy or something. Goofy, wacky, wiggy little chick. She's, you know, she belongs in a cage. Some of these kids do. That's been my philosophy. Ever since the Columbine thing went down, I finally said, you can't say anything other than some. And that Klebold and Harris, those guys were just born rotten to the core. Some woman calls my show and says, well, you know, no child is born evil. How dare you? This is what she says to me. How dare you? Oh, yeah? How do you know? How do you know? You know, the things we're learning about psychology right now, we're learning about brain size. We're learning about neurotransmitters, the biochemistry of the brain. How do you know he wasn't born bad? Kid could have been born with some kind of a neurotransmitter or brain chemical defect, which is pumping too much norepinephrine here or not enough serotonin there, or there is a chemistry imbalance that could cause the kid to be a homicidal maniac. So don't tell me he didn't born bad. These kids are the children of the corn. Now, I'm not making the mistake a lot of adults make. I'm not saying that things were better when I was a kid, okay? This kid was born from the seed of Satan, but there have been the seed of Satan before. Didn't you see Rosemary's Baby? 1968, Mia Farrow? It's great. No, kids have been crappy their whole, down through time. This hasn't got anything to do with generation. We ain't saying things were better when I was a kid. I ain't going to lay that old saw on you, man. Just, you can always check in with Phil because you know you're going to get the truth out of me. And the truth is, when I was a kid, things are just as bad, if not worse. If you want to know the honest truth, kids got it tougher today than they did when I was a kid. When you see kids dragging books to school that they have to carry in suitcases, where they can't ride a bike to school, they have to go in an armored personnel carrier for fear some pervert is going to pick them up off the street. Where they can't go to school and just sit in a classroom and enjoy the day, they got to worry about whether some nutcase is going to pull a gun that they got out of their dad's gun case. And I don't give a crap if the guy had it locked. I still say he's responsible. What do you think of that? Oh, well, the father did everything that he could. He had the gun case locked. Bullcrap. I still say charge the guy. Ain't nobody going to have the balls to do that. Okay, Dwight, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I wanted to express the opinion that the reason these things keep happening is because they're a cry for attention, and we give it to them by putting it on the radio and on the news.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I think the more that we talk about it, the more these things will continue to happen. Kind of like terrorism.
I already said that. I said it was a copycat thing.
Well, no, I think copying unoriginality, I mean, I think is a good thing. I mean, your success in radio is because you copied people before you that were in radio.
No, I've never copied a soul.
So there was no one doing radio before you?
There was nobody doing what I do. There was nobody. Go ahead, name him.
I think.
Go ahead, name who was it?
People that went on the radio before you?
People that do what I do on the air.
Well.
Okay, obviously I use this medium, but you're using a telephone. I'm not going to accuse you of unoriginality.
Oh, well, absolutely.
That's a tool. That's a tool that you picked up to use, but you use it in your way by voicing your distinct point of view. I think it's I think the heart and soul of America being unoriginal is expressed by the copycat crime. Only in America.
I think there's copycat crime everywhere, absolutely.
Really? Like where?
Oh, in every country there.
Go ahead. Give me an example.
Sure, there's pickpockets in France. I mean, I've been to Paris and there were pickpockets there. They tell you don't keep your wallet in a...
Yeah, but that's not done as the result of some other guy did it, so I think I'm going to do it as a cry for help. That's what you were just talking about.
That guy's
doing it to make a living.
I'm saying that, yes, this is a copycat. There's always going to be copycats. That may be a bad thing. It may be a good thing.
What you're telling me is we shouldn't publicize this stuff so it won't happen as much.
Absolutely.
What are you talking about,
if
man?
If we stopped publicizing people blowing up airplanes, it wouldn't happen anymore. The only reason they blow it up is for the attention that
so
it gets.
So how am I supposed to do that?
How are you supposed to do what? Not talk about it?
Yeah.
Don't talk about it.
I can't.
Today's show should be about something else.
I have to talk about it.
This kid wanted your attention, and now he's getting your attention.
Well, good. I hope he got my attention. I'll give him more if he wants.
Well, that's the thing, that people are going to do this in the future because you give them attention.
Look, if I don't talk about this, you know what's going to happen? People are going to turn on the radio because they want to know about this kid that blew away these people in San Diego, and I'm not talking about it. They're going to go to another radio station.
Sure, and if they're not talking about it, then people won't do this.
Then you're
what you're
telling me is they'll actually have to have a life or something?
Absolutely. That's
saying. That won't happen. This is like I said, this is America.
I mean,
nice try. No, wait a second. Are you asking us to go out and find a life? Who do you think you are? Okay, Bob, who do you think you are? Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener. Just a couple of questions.
Okay, see you later, Bob. 1-800-449. Where do they get off with that long-time listener, thanks for taking my call stuff? This is the Phil Hendry Show. This ain't the Mike Reagan Show. Thanks for taking my call, long-time listener. You might as well let them know right now, Mike, if they open up with that, they're gone. This is one of the reasons why we don't take phone calls ordinarily, but I'm allowing you to speak to me today because of the nature of the news, all that other stuff. You need to unburden. Everybody's tense, yada, yada, yada. But you better come on with what you got to say, and you give me that thanks for taking my call, long-time listener thing, and I may pick up a gun and wander into a schoolyard. This is a segment of the Phil Hendry Program called Who Do You Think You Are? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Back to You're Now Allowed to Talk to Phil. 1-800-449-8686. I guess the idea is just be nice to people. This crap wouldn't happen if you guys were nicer to each other out there. But I bet you'll be nicer to them now, won't you? And how could you not help but be nice to somebody if you think maybe the guy has a gun? It's true. See, you think that I'm being, like it's bad taste or something. I'm dead serious. Sooner or later, the effect is this. I'm not going to give any crap to anybody, especially some geek, because he might have a gun. So there's that. There's all kinds of lessons to be learned. And then there's the lesson that we talked about last hour, which is let's get out of this country. Let's get out of here. let's move away from America because it's a psychotic, disgusting place. It just really is. And all of that orientation, all of the training since we were kids about the greatest nation on earth, you have got to begin to wean yourself away from that propaganda because it just isn't true. You have to now begin to think the unthinkable. We have to now do what the Emperor of Japan told his people to do at the end of World War II, endure the unendurable, and that is come to grips with the reality this is not the greatest country in the world. This is a country so beset with sickness and illness that I'd rather be living with the stone people of New Guinea. I'd rather be out on the other side of the lake where the beast lives and paint my face, and when the cats go off-roading through there during the summertime, say, go back, bad fever over river. Just, you know, roll in mud and cut off the pig's head and do the whole kill the pig, spill his blood chant. I'd rather be in the Philippines with some guy with an electrified cattle prod on my testicles after having ripped off a pack of Juicy Fruit from a local 7-Eleven. I would rather live in that kind of society than have to endure one more second. I'm just kidding. All right. Here is Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I kind of I agree with you with respect to the kid. I felt very bad for him. I saw him today, and I keep thinking, I almost feel like he didn't think he had a choice.
What kid's that? The little geek down there in Santee?
Yep.
Screw him, too.
No, but the thing is, all right, first of all,
what about that old man? Give me an answer. What about the old man? Don't you think that guy ought to be brought up on charges?
Which old man?
I don't know. The kid's father. He had that locked gun case?
No. I feel like, no, but listen to what my...
Let me ask you a question as a woman. Seriously, he was living with his father. You know that, right?
Right.
His mother was back east. You're aware of that? What mother gives up custody of her kid?
I have no idea, but my point is just that...
Oh, you just want to blow right by my point.
No, but I understand...
You want to make your point.
Go
ahead, Lisa. What is it?
Thank you.
Your freaking point. What?
Okay. What I want to say is that, you know, for the most part, it's the atmosphere. It's the environment. These kids are formed by what they're involved, what's around them. And when you live in a culture where you watch a sports game and people are talking about take a shot or whatever, and he's a Maryland kid. He's from Maryland, and he's in California, and everyone's talking about executing and exterminating and assassinating.
Where are they talking about that?
On TV all the time. That's all they talk about is when are we going to get the cut, the slit in the throat. I mean, it's just...
You're not going to go into that kick, are you? Are you telling me about television?
Right, yeah. And television,
oh, come
radio.
On. Will you, how many times
radio
have I...
Too.
Are you going to go down that road again? How many times are you going to go down that road?
What road?
That TV did it.
I'm talking about the truth. No.
The TV did it. Is that what you're telling me? The TV did it?
It's the media. It's the culture. It's like Hitler. I mean, Hitler
just
because
I pushed a safe out of a second floor window once and squashed this guy doesn't mean that I was watching Warner Brothers cartoons. Just because I fell off of a cliff to see if, you know, I could do it like the coyote.
So you're saying that Hitler, do you think propaganda works for elected officials? Do you think that if you put 24 hours a day, if you say Bush is great and Clinton's a demon, if you say Clinton steals, do you think that doesn't affect people? People don't change their votes based on that? Is that what you're saying?
Am I saying what?
Are you saying that if you broadcast propaganda, maybe
keep talking because I'll give you a little music while you do this. Go ahead. If I'm saying what?
All right, are you saying
just
that...
Just because I ordered stuff from Acme doesn't mean I really want to blow up somebody.
Go
ahead. I'm saying, in other words, that propaganda doesn't work?
Examples.
That propaganda doesn't work is what you're asking me.
Yeah, are you saying that advertising is just a joke? People spend billions of dollars advertising their products because they're stupid. Is that what you're saying?
I believe that, people are stupid. I would agree with that comment. That's the most cogent thing you've said. People are idiots, okay?
No.
Let's work from there, Lisa. However, I don't necessarily believe that if you keep pumping the same message into their living room, that they're going to act on. For instance, if you were to say to me, you know, if somebody took out an ad in the newspaper that said, go out and kill your parents, 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 would kids go out and do that? Or is that what you're asking me? I think some kids would go out and kill their parents. However, let's flip the coin. Listen to popular music, Lisa. Do you listen to the radio?
Don't blame music.
Listen to me. Do you listen to the music on the radio?
On occasion.
Okay, do you know how many songs are on the radio about love? Baby, I love you. Baby, I need you. Let's stay together. Let's fall in love. Let's have a family. Let's you and I do this. Let's you and I do... You know all those songs about love? My heart will go on. Why do we have, with all of that propaganda about how wonderful love is, about how marvelous a relationship, about how I'll be committed for the rest of my life to you, baby, why do we have hate, and why do we have divorce, and why do we have dysfunctional relationships? Go ahead. That's the most prevalent prevalent message in society today.
No, it's
okay,
not.
I already said it. Shut up. Thanks for your call. It was nice. More calls like Lisa, and we're getting somewhere. What? If I believe if they put enough propaganda on the... What did she say? What the hell is she talking about? Every day, all I do is I flip on... like, I take the kids to school, we listen to Kiss FM. Every song is about, hey, baby, I love you. Just like when I was a kid. It ain't changed. Year after year after year of songs about love. Love is a many-splendored thing. My heart will go on. Love Unlimited Orchestra. Love Train. People of the world, Love Train. Love, 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 freaking love. And you're telling me that the media influences behavior, and if we had all these negative messages out there, that's what's causing the kids to go out and shoot each other up. Well, we got all that love message, too. How come this place ain't Disneyland? With all that love crap, man, we ought to be out there. We ought to be doing it in the parking lot right now with each other. It ought to be like ecstasy. Every day ought to be a walk down Main Street, USA, with the freaking storybook ride. And every day ought to be like living in It's a Small World. Happiness and joy, holding hands, because that's the prevalent message. You know what? Am I wrong? Then how come that isn't working? If it's propaganda, why doesn't that propaganda work? All right, I'm tired of taking these phone calls. These people are all boring. And it's not your fault. You're just dull. That's why you listen to the Phil Henry Show. You listen to my show for me to give, and give more. You don't listen to this show to hear somebody else's opinion. You don't listen to this show to call up. You listen to this show to listen to this show. And the reason why we're stopping down and doing a segment like You're Now Allowed to Call Phil... So you can hear what I got to say about this bull crap, and maybe I'll take a few phone calls. I just took two, and that's enough. Because I knew I was going to get it, and I got it. All the negative messages in the media, and what was the other one? Let's not publicize it. Oh, okay. All right. So what is that? Why don't we go back to the days of Robin Hood, man, or the Middle Ages, where a guy had to ride on horseback delivering scrolls to people. Some dude ringing a bell. 3 weeks ago, we delivered an A-bomb to Pakistan. Hear ye, hear ye. The Japs bombed Pearl Harbor. When? Well, the war's over now, but we'll do that, all right? It's our nature to want to know what's going on, guys. It's our nature to want to kind of look around, because the reason why we formed a society in the first place was to be together. It works better when we're together. It doesn't work so good when we ain't together. When we're walking around like a bunch of stumble bums holding onto our own rear end, it don't work so good. So one day we all decided, let's get together. We can do this a lot easier if we're all on the same page. And that's what we did. And then we want to know, what are you doing? What am I doing? That's called news. What that guy's proposing is a de-evolution to the time when nobody gave a crap about each other. We won't publicize it. We won't let anybody know that it's happening. I got a better idea. There was a thing called Communist Russia once where everything was like beautiful. The society was great, and if there was crap, well, they didn't publicize it. We can go and do that. You know, after the fall of communism, they found out, they got this whole study on crime in Russia. And it turned out there was rape and incest, all kinds of disgusting crimes that they didn't want anybody to know about during the communist regime. So as soon as it fell, and you find out these were real people living in a real world with a real society, not this, utopia that they wanted us to believe that actually existed. The crimes were still there, though. And the reason why people were committing the crimes in Russia is because they felt so cut off from everything. So after having said all of that, I agree with you. It's television, but not radio. So stop watching TV and listen to radio. Television sucks. We've been telling you all along you should listen to me, Phil Henry. I will tell you to go out and kill your parents, often. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to You're Now Allowed to Talk to Phil. Craig Taylor, my engineer here on the Phil Henry Show, told me to shut up and just do some bits. I said, no, I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to keep talking about this vitally important issue. Oh, boy. Anyway, it is vitally important. I'm not trying to make light of it. But, you know, after a while, you're going to have to excuse me if I start just thinking the whole thing's a put-on, all right? We get one more kid blowing away some kids in a school. I'm going to think the whole thing's a gag. How long do you want me to take this stuff seriously before one of you guys does something about it? And again, it's not my job. Let me emphasize as strongly as I possibly can that I've got nothing to do with the solution to this problem. No talk show host does. Not on TV, not on radio. There is no solution to be found here. There is no answer to the problem. There is no forum upon which you can discuss this issue. There is no, there's not going to be any teabag demonstration here. We're not going to encourage you to call a congressman. We're not going to encourage the passage of a law. I think this is kind of a pet peeve of mine, if you will. Just one of those little things. It's a little tiny pet peeve that I have, and I'm sure you understand we all have these little pet peeves, right? Like you, for instance, maybe you don't like the cap off the toothpaste. Maybe a member of your family doesn't like, waffles. Another one likes pancakes. You know, little pet peeves. My pet peeve are talk shows that try to get laws passed, like talk show hosts who try to get laws passed through state legislatures. I just think guys like that ought to be tied behind a truck and drugged for a few blocks. Oh, and there's one other thing I don't like, black people. Other than that, I am, I got a little bit of a pet peeve. I don't like African Americans. Other than that, I'm totally fine. What's this guy want? Daniel, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
You know, when these kids go to school and start shooting folks, and it's a situation where these kids have been picked on and ostracized, you know, they stick the microphone in the kid's face, in the parent's face, in Hollywood's face, in the music industry's face. They need to hunt down these kids that are picking on these kids. They don't excuse bringing a gun to school and busting a cap in these kids that are picking on you, but you kick a dog so much, he's going to bite you. And I tell you, I was telling the guys at work today, if some kid brought a gun to school, shot my son, and I come to find out my son's beating up on this kid every day, I'd be like, you know, it sounded to me like he just started kicking the wrong rattlesnake. I mean, maybe that sounds wrong.
Let me get you straight here. So your kid bullies another kid. That kid comes to school with a gun, shoots and kills your son, and you're like, it's life.
Oh, no, I'd be devastated. But, you know, some of these kids, yeah, they forget to take their medicine and they start shooting people. But then some of these kids, they've been picked on.
Have got a legitimate beef.
What's that?
Have got a legitimate beef. How come we're yelling at each other, too? Because you're over there. You're going, hey, Phil, I'm yelling at you, too. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I'm in Salem.
Everybody yells in Salem? Is that what you're doing there in Salem? Hey! And another thing. Yeah, I love you, honey.
I'm driving down the freeway, road raging right now. That's what I'm doing.
Look, all I'm saying is, so you think your kid ought to die. Boy, that's pretty sick, Daniel.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You need to go to a doctor for that. Why don't you just go ahead and shoot your kid yourself? There's an idea. You know, kid goes to school and starts giving some guy a... Yeah?
Hey, don't tell me as that. When you were a kid and someone was picking on you, you never thought about seriously hurting that person.
No. One of my very first experiences in high school when I was a freshman was this big, dumb kid giving me crap because I was kind of a skinny, short dweeb, right? Well,
yeah.
As I went through high school, I noticed that this guy now started to try to be my friend because I made friends. And in the back of my head, the only revenge that I wanted to take on this guy was to ostracize him. I just would not befriend him. But I never considered violence. What I considered was that someday I'd make him look like the jackass he tried to make me look like.
Hey, Phil, can I tell you a story just really quick?
Not really. All right, so I'm sorry, I lost it. I'm sorry, I got to move on, man. Anytime somebody says to me, can I tell you a story real quick, I know it's another 10 minutes on the phone with you, and I'll never be able to get rid of you, Daniel. I love you. I thank you for your phone call. Get out of here. Can I tell you a story real quick? Just quit yelling at me. Guys over there in Salem, and we yell here. So you know what I'm saying? I had this guy, I'll never forget the guy. I was walking across the schoolyard one day. I was not 3 weeks into my freshman year in high school, and he's like, hey, he's giving me crap. He's a big, tall guy, and he was with another big, tall guy. And I remember thinking, this guy is a real jackass, and when I get my feet, you know, when I get my feet on the ground and I get settled in here and I start, you know, carving my little niche, I'm going to make that freaking guy know what it feels like, you know. But I wasn't contemplating violence. I'll never forget, I thought that I was just the weirdest, oddest kid when I was in school, man. And when I got to high school, when I got to my senior year in high school, and I finally went to a co-ed high school, I was in an all-boys high school for 3 years. I was in a Catholic preparatory high school, Catholic college prep high school. And my parents couldn't afford that any longer, so I had to go to a public high school my senior year, and there I was. And a public high school is even more competitive socially than an all-boys high school because there's a all-boys Catholic high school because there seemed to be some buffering there socially. There I was, and oh my God, I just thought every move that I made was scrutinized. I thought I looked like the biggest jerk. My hair, I couldn't comb it right. It was the days of long hair, and my hair, when it got long in those days, I looked like Bozo the Clown. It frizzed out to the side. And there was one girl in my biology class, I'll never forget her name, Liz. And she sat next to me every day, and she would make sure that the seat was clear so that I would sit there. She had a crush on me. She was a little sophomore, and I was a senior. And I didn't know what to do or to say. I was flummoxed. And she was cute. And you talk about a rear... Well, I'm just kidding. She was a sophomore. And anyway, I was completely... I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to talk to the girls. I looked at her, and she... Hi, Phil. And she had this big... beautiful hair and perfume and man. And a lot of these kids, you know, they thought I was some skinny geek of a kid. I was coming into the school my senior year. They didn't know the hell I was. I was in a biology class that sophomore. Craig's asking me as a senior, what was I doing with a sophomore? It was a biology class where we could all take, I don't know why. It's a good question. Why was I? I just was a sophomore. It was biology. I hadn't taken it. I guess I hadn't taken it. I don't know. But I felt like I felt like the strangest guy, man. So the only thing that I could do is go out and try to make myself feel special somehow. I had to get a career. That's why a lot of us go into entertainment. First thing I did is I smoked a joint, and then... No, I mean, that's why I went out and I tried to find a life and a career for myself where I could say, I feel special about myself. I'm doing something special. And barring that, I wasn't able to find that career, so I went into radio instead. And I still don't know how to talk to girls. It's my wife's out of town right now. She'd rather talk to her parents than me. Is that anything? Because I can't, I don't know. Honey, you trying to ask me for sex? Well, I don't, never mind, I'm leaving. So I know how tough it is. We all do. Now the answer is get a gun. Is that the answer? Oh, okay. Well, why not? Why wouldn't that be the answer? That's how you solve the problem. You pick up a gun, you blow somebody away. Pick up a gun and put a bullet in them. Pick up a gun and cap somebody. Whatever. All right, so I'm all out of philosophizing. I guess I better go to another phone call here. Kirk, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, last week you were... And I'm not as funny as you are. I won't try to be. But you were commenting on the Hollywood Walk of Fame about how you have all these pathetic people who have stars, and you were...
Yeah, I never thought... I always thought the Hollywood Walk of Fame should be for movie stars.
Exactly. That was my impression, too. But recently I saw something on one of the cable channels, and what they said was that it's not actually like an honor to receive the star. It's quite the reverse. Your agent or a producer of a film that you might be starring in, they actually approach a Hollywood committee, and I don't remember what the committee is, and they buy these stars
right.
on the sidewalk for the alleged famous person.
The alleged celebrity, yeah.
Exactly.
And I like that term, alleged celebrity.
And so, you know, a lot of times when these people, when their career is taking a dive,
yeah.
somebody will buy a star for them to try to boost them up.
You know what? I heard about that too, man. You do have to pay for it. And you get nominated, and then I don't know what else. There's got to be some other process, because if that's the case, let's get Craig Taylor a star in the Walk of Fame. I just want to see if I can get Craig Taylor.
You probably could.
Really?
You probably could.
Bob Thorne of Bob Thorne Ford, okay?
Essentially, it's just another way of raising money. It's just more tax revenue.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, they make some bread for Hollywood, and I don't know. I mean, the whole thing looks kind of funky anyway, but although they're going to revitalize that, and it's all going to be like pedestrian only. Have you heard about that? That whole thing, all of that Walk of Fame and all that crap down there is going to be pedestrian only. They're going to do a whole promenade, Third Street promenade thing down there.
Wow, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it'll probably be cool, but I remember when I was a kid walking down the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I'm looking at these stars, it's like Greta Garbo and Clark Gable, all these heavyweights. I'm thinking, this is cool.
It
meant something, man.
Yeah.
And I'm looking down there with all due respect to the very fine, you know, he's a nice guy, very talented guy. Rick Dees, come on, Rick, you know as well as I do, man. You know, with a freaking star, man. Jay Thomas and, what is another? Dick Van Patten? Why? Give me a star.
They just don't have the same power.
Right. And then they have these pictures in the book. And the lady who sent me the book, I promise I'll bring her name in tomorrow. She's a really nice lady. She wrote the book, did a lot of research. It's really interesting because all of the history of the individual artists is on there. But then they show the people, and they're all really jazzed, you know, that they've got this star. And I'm thinking, you're jazzed? And if somebody ever tried to give me a star on a Hollywood star, a Walk of Fame, I would turn it down. I would just, because I wouldn't want to be seen as some interloping swine.
Maybe they could give you a star only as R.C. Collins or something other than that.
Jesus. Imagine him, you know, showing up for
Margaret
that.
Margaret Gray.
Yeah, there you go. All right, brother.
Thanks
for calling. Bye. One more call. Shonda, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
Just wanted to add to this conversation about the kids.
Yeah?
You know, I think that these kids all need to see, like, I think every kid needs to see more of, like, harsh reality of, like, real life. I mean, they don't need to sugarcoat these newscasts or anything. When somebody gets blown away, they need to show it to them. And, you know, because
But that's not really seeing it.
Well, no, I agree with you, but I think that a little bit of reality could maybe...
What they need, Shonda, is not see a newscast of a real violent death. They need to see a real violent death.
I fully agree.
You
that's
know,
what
and then, well, what am I saying? Those kids in Columbine did. Scared straight? What's that supposed to be? Are you talking about scared straight?
It worked, didn't it? I mean,
I don't know if scared straight worked because there's still people going to jail.
No, I agree.
You know, but I think that, like, my kids the other day, or not the other day, it was back on, we were at their grandparents' house for, I guess it was Thanksgiving or something, and it was a freeway chase, you know, one of those typical freeway chases that ended with the cops shooting the guy, and he died. And then they went back to the cartoons, you know, or whatever the kids were watching. They were watching a movie. Well, that concludes this. The man's been blown away. I'm Hal Fishbeck. Thank you, and screw you. And then they went back to the Martha Stewart Easy Living show, right? And it was like something out of Fahrenheit 451. I had to walk into the living room, and I said, do you guys know what you just saw? I asked the kids, I said, do you know what you just saw? Yeah, we know. What? The cop shot that guy. And I got to think that if they actually saw it in real life, they'd all be wetting their pants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But because they saw it on TV, they didn't give a crap.
You know, I have to say, though, when just a few years ago when I was in high school, they, like, took us to the jail and took us to the morgue, and we were, like, seeing dead bodies and prisoners and everything. And these people were, like, saying the most horrible things to us. And you know what? Kind of made me think that I didn't want to be there and, you know, maybe diverted me a little bit. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you're there, Shonda, in Moreno Valley. Now you have that grain and feed business, and you're doing great.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling. Bye. Yes, another story. Shonda. Shonda made it out. But will you? Shonda has the feed and grain business, but what have you got? She lives in Moreno Valley now. She gets the eggs from the chickens every morning, goes down the road to the stand and sells them, polishes up the buttons on her shoes once a year, goes out to the Rose Bowl game, treats her elderly parents to a ride into town in the old Model A. Sure, Shonda's okay. What about you? Next time someone looks at you cross-eyed, what are you going to do? Pass it off with a laugh or pick up that salad fork and drive it deep into their thorax? What will it be? Shonda goes to the flea market at the Rose Bowl on Sundays. On Saturdays, she takes her grandmother, elderly though she may be, bent though she may be with the osteoporosis, to the farmer's market there in the town square, where her grandmother picks up the melon and goes,
"Holy Jesus, honeydew, white man's watermelon."
Marvelous moments like that are shared. But not you, no, not you. You'll let your kids watch all that crap on TV. And remember, when your kids are watching all that crap on TV and picking up a gun and saying, "Oh, I'll be right back, Mom. I just wanted to go pay some of my friends a visit." Remember, it's the Phil Hendry Show every day on this station. Okay, 1-800-449. We guarantee if your kid's listening to this show, he's not out shooting people. And that's, you know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Continually amazed and appalled by this mother. At first, I called immediately when I heard that you weren't a parent, so you couldn't possibly know what it feels like.
No, he couldn't.
To be disappointed when your child doesn't get something. Well, I am a mother, and I know what it feels like. And I never want to know what it feels like to lose one of my children.
Then
I just think you are a sick woman.
Oh.
If you shower with your son,
your son needs to be taken from you to make it to the audition.
That is disgusting. Not to mention, you cried for two days? Why didn't he cry for 2 days? You're too wrapped up in your son's life, and you need to get a life of your own.
I guess you're jealous because your children have never been up for the Harry Potter film.
Well, come on, don't go there. My children didn't lose the part either, or they're not going to make some World Checked in Space number 2, which the first one was horrible, and the second one probably will be too.
Love
if I were a producer, director, or anybody in that industry and were listening to you on the phone, I would make sure that Jason J. Dell, whoever the hell he is, would never be cast in anything for fear of having to deal with you.
You know something? Are you done? Because your cruelty, you must be a very unhappy woman.
No, she's made some very good points.
You're cruel.
What you are saying about these people who have lost children is outrageous. And it disgusts me, and that's why I have called.
It disgusts you? Have you ever lost a child?
Have you ever lost a child?
He lost the part in the Campbell
Have you
suit.
Lost a child?
Yes,
have you put a child
yes,
in
I
the
have.
Ground?
If Jason J. Delmonico does not get the part in Harry Potter, in a I've lost the part. The more you say his name, the more I'm going to remember it
because I'm never going to go see anything he's in.
Do you hear what you're doing? Do you hear what you're doing to this woman? Here's a woman who doesn't...
She's a woman who obviously has a great deal of bitterness because Jason J. Delmonico...
I don't even know your kid.
You know something?
Do I care?
You know something? I'm really resentful. What are you inferring just because I shower with my son?